844-946-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. All the audio that you could possibly want from the Phil Hendry Show, audio that is much better quality than the slop you'll find on Morpheus or what used to be up on Napster, 18th generation Swill. This is high quality, high definition Phil Hendry audio, and it is posted there. And all you got to do is get your backstage pass, $7.95, or actually $6.95. $6.95 a month, you get everything. You get listen live, you can get a 30-day archive, all of our audio archives. It's all there for you. Plus, on demand, our webcast from the 21st and more. We're going to be posting our scrapbook. Many of you have written and said, what do you look like anyway? I mean, do you look as bad as you sound? And a lot of questions like that. I say, well, check out our scrapbook, which will be posted, I am assured, sometime by the end of this week. You'll see pictures of me way back at the very beginning of my career. Pictures of me with hair. Pictures of me when I was 150 pounds. And, okay, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Good looking. I mean, women were, you know, it was a little bit of a revolving door there for a while. At the Hendry apartment. With his roommates, huh? With the what? Oh, the bachelor pad. What's wrong with you today, Craig? Craig Taylor, my engineer, shaved his head. He looks like he belongs on the yard with the rest of the Aryan Brotherhood. I was a good-looking guy. Anyway, with hair, me back in the day in the Twin Cities, back in the day in Atlanta, some shots of me from Miami, different things. So we'll have that for you there. And then we're also going to have pictures of the family and pictures of my home, pictures of my street address, pictures of my phone number where you can find where I live. So you can come and terrorize me, things like that. And it'll all be up on our website. Don't miss it. This Friday, my home address and home phone number. For all of you that I've ever hung up on, all of you that I've abused during the phone screening process, remember how I told you to go shove it where the sun doesn't creep or crawl? Well, now you can find my home phone number on my website. Just go there, but you got to get a backstage pass. So for $6.95, God, I would love just one guy to buy a backstage pass thinking he was going to find my home address on my website. That'd be worth the $6.95. I'd pay the $6.95 to have him pay the $6.95. Well, you know what I'm talking about. We had an earthquake in Los Angeles last night. It was a 4.2. And I know that doesn't mean anything to you. It really doesn't mean anything to me either. Nothing under a 5 do I ordinarily even feel. 5.0 on up is generally one that you're going to notice. Anything under a 5, a lot of times you miss it. If you're asleep, for instance, you'll miss it. If you, I don't know, were doing jumping jacks, you may miss it. If you were on a trampoline, you may miss it. But last night I was laying in bed and I was talking to my wife. And I just, it wasn't what you're thinking. I was actually just laying down because I was exhausted from walking up the stairs. And she was standing there. And we were talking and I felt the earthquake. A lot of you guys, most of you don't know what an earthquake is. I know you've heard about them. You've heard about how L.A. gets earthquakes. And we do. We get more than our fair share, probably. And they say someday there's going to be a big one. I personally don't buy that there's ever going to be a big one. In fact, I'm willing to go out on a limb right now, along with Joe Dickhead's bold prediction that it's going to be the Rams 33, Patriots nothing in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's never going to be a big one in L.A. We're going to have a series of quakes like the 6.7 we had in Northridge, things like that. But there won't be any big earthquake, and your beachfront property in Arizona ain't going to be worth spit. But we had a little earthquake last night. Now, what happens is, if I can describe an earthquake to you, I'm being very serious now. At its worst, an earthquake can feel something like this. If you've ever ridden on a train, and I mean a regular passenger train, and you've gone between cars, do you know that space just between one car where one foot is on one car and the other foot is on the other car, and there's kind of this disunion of movement going on. One foot is doing one thing and the other. At its very worst, an earthquake can feel like that. The very ground under your feet can feel like it's shifting in a lot of different ways. It's almost like you're on a table on rollers. You know, the table's moving around a little bit. That's at its worst. At its best, the roof comes in on top of you, 800 pounds of steel and metal and glass. At its worst, an earthquake means you're buried under 15 stories of building. Now, at its best, an earthquake could be something like it was last night. The quake, as I felt it last night, felt like someone taking a very, very large baseball bat and hitting the side of the house. So there's an initial bang, and then the house shudders. You know, there's just kind of this shaking. And I immediately, being a journalist, you know, working in the medium, I jumped out of bed. My wife, what are you doing? I got to go down. I got to turn the news on. I got to see. You know, see if our local guys, KFI, needs me to go on the air and tell them what's going on. So I flipped on the news, and I'm watching. And the other way you can tell that you're having an earthquake, if it's not that, you know, if it's not that pronounced, is if you have anything hanging. If you have hanging plants, you can see them swinging back and forth. Now, we have one of those hanging pot racks in our kitchen. And suddenly I could hear clang, 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 you know, and I look, and there was an aftershock rolling through, so the pots are clanging together, and the cat was nowhere to be found. Moments before, he was friendly, I was petting the cat, and the thing about cats, of course, is they're so loyal during an emergency and during the time of danger. When you most need a cat, naturally, they're gone. You know, cat is so loyal. I could be pinned under timber. Lassie's going to stand there and go, woof, woof, what can I do? Whatever, and say, go get the sheriff. The cat, forget it. I was petting the cat, and I got an aftershock. Cat's gone under a bed. So that's what happened last night, and it was no big deal. But here's what happened to me. I'm a homeowner now. I'm a homeowner. I own a home. Most of my life, I've never really owned anything. I mean, I've never owned, I didn't own the pants that I wore. I leased everything. I leased my underwear. And now I own a home, and it's a funny thing. All of a sudden, you're, well, they better not, okay, now what's going on? What's going on? My wife, no, well, what are you worried about? Well, we just had an earthquake. I want to know if there's been some substantial, some kind of foundation damage. Is the very integrity of the foundation compromised? I've got to know. Well, honey, I'm sure it's fine. No. I want that insurance guy on the phone tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, bright and early. This is the pain in the ass that I become with the earthquake. Now, I don't know. Now, what are you talking about? Oh, will you get out of here with the earthquake? Man, it was at 4.2. No, I got to find out. All of a sudden, this little tembler, which is what we call, and then Chris comes in this morning and says to me, where do you live? I said, I live out in Thousand Oaks. Oh, forget it. It's cool. Why? That used to be a volcano out there. Oh, well, that helps. He tells me that where I live is a dormant volcano. So, and because of that, the ground, geology, if you will, is extremely firm and cannot be compromised by an earthquake because it's all very firm lava rock. Dude, it's a volcano. Why is that going to make me feel better? Now I live on a dormant volcano. You say it's dormant. You don't know, right? I mean, like those people at Mount St. Helens. You remember that guy that got blown right off the side of that volcano? That little old guy that was up there saying, no, I ain't going to move. Had 15 acres here since 1910. A grandpappy up here, my pappy before him. Yeah, bullcrap. Next thing you know, this guy is blown halfway across the country. All they found were his eyeglasses and one shoe. So I got really paranoid. So there's an earthquake. I got to know what's happened to the house, this, that, everything else. It changes everything. I used to be very cavalier when it came to earthquakes. I saw how people freaked out. I would see people who would not return to a building after an earthquake. I had friends and business acquaintances down on Hollywood Boulevard where I had to go down for a recording session one day, and they were sitting on the curb across the street after I think it was the Whittier quake or something back around 1990. I said, what are you doing? I can't go back in there. Why? Because of the earthquake. I can't. I mean, this is a trauma for a lot of people, a terrible trauma. I'm fine with it. They never bother me. They just, honest to God, they don't bother me. I can go up in any building, but as soon as I bought a house and all of a sudden I think maybe a gas line's leaking, now forget that. That would presume some fear of danger on my part. No, what am I worried about? Losing all of my equity. That's what I'm worried about. Earthquake. Oh, I know you care about our safety. I don't care about our safety. I don't want to lose the house. You know what, I got to walk away from the loan on this thing? That's the kind of guy I am. So it was pretty funny, and my wife said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, call the insurance guy. I want to make sure there are any cracks in the foundation. I want to get a structural engineer out here. She goes, a structural engineer? Can you even spell it? What are you talking about? Well, I mean, we got to get a structural engineer. Get out of here with a structural engineer. It was a thing. It went through. It's done. Well, how do we know the pool isn't leaking? You know the hell I went through it. Oh, the pool's leaking now, is it? I don't know. There could be one, you know. Then I noticed something. Our sink seemed to have pulled away by a quarter of an inch away from the caulking there because I saw water bugs. I see, look at that. The sink dropped. Oh, well, okay. There you go. The sink dropped. So this is the fear. But earthquakes, they don't bother me. Now, I don't know, to the people that I'm talking to right now, how many of you in across the country have ever felt one? I was in Florida once. There was an earthquake in Orlando. It wasn't big. Its epicenter was in the Atlantic. I've heard of them being in Missouri. I've heard of, didn't they? They had one in Oklahoma. They're all over the place. There's nobody is safe from the Tembler. But it was an experience. So anyway, that was that. And it was my first one since, so I don't know when. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. Again, our website is philhendryshow.com for that backstage pass. We have a flashback for you coming up this hour as well.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now the Phil Henry Show presents the top 10 people in television who are also in lousy physical condition. Start with Oprah Winfrey, weight up and down, diet pills going through her veins. You lose that much weight and gain it back, and then lose it, gain it back, lose it, gain it back. Your heart is just, it's a muscle ready to explode. You can't lose that much weight, gain it, lose it, gain it, lose it, gain it. Plus, she lost her ass, everything. Even when she loses weight, she looks not as good as she ought to look. I mean, she doesn't look bad, but she can't possibly be in very good physical shape. Number one on our list of the top 10 people in television who looks like they're going to die any minute now. Speaking of that, David Letterman. All right, moving along. Kim Delaney, alcoholic, next. Barbara Walters, am I alone, or does she look like she belongs on dialysis? Eric Clapton, you know, sometimes giving up heroin is a bad thing. I think he looked great when he was on heroin. Now he's... Maria Shriver, let's talk a little bit about a woman who... I'm not going to say she's not still beautiful, but there's Cruella beautiful, and, you know... There's that Cruella de Vil thing, and then there's, like, normal beautiful. Willie Nelson. Willie Nelson makes our top 10 list of people on television who are in lousy physical condition. Because when I see him, I just want to say, just lie down, man. Just find a place to lie down. It's all right. We'll get you. We'll get you when you're on. But the only time Willie is standing up is when he's on camera, and he's always lying down. Other than that. Marlon Brando. Look, I'm not saying you got to lose weight, man. You can do anything that you want to do, all right? And I'm not even saying it's bad to be buried in a piano crate. I'm not saying that's bad either. I'm just asking, is that how you want to be remembered? That's all. It's none of my business? Tell me. It's none of my business? All right. Robert Redford looks bad, man. Hey, Brad Pitt. What you got ahead of you, man? We got Louis Anderson. Let's talk a little bit about Louis. Louis is the host of Family Feud. He makes our list of the top 10 people in television who are also in lousy physical condition because Louis can't be more than 32, 33, and he walks with a cane. Come on, man. Also, the top 10 people on television who are in lousy physical condition, Iggy Pop. Okay. Iggy, there's cut and ripped and in good shape, but you ain't, man. You just look like you've lost so much weight, all the tendons are showing. You know what I'm saying? That's a guy who needs to put down a smack. Clapton needs to put it up. Something needs to... There's an exchange. There's a phone conversation needs to take place between those two. Helen Thomas. Now, I know a lot of you don't know who she is. She is the head reporter, I think, for AP, am I right? And she's always on the front row there of those press conferences. She's gone from elder statesman. She's like the undead statesman now. She's the walking undead elder statesman something of the press corps. She's the walking undead of the press corps. That's it. Bob Dylan. And then finally, John Goodman, man. Let me say something here. There's something endearing about your weight on the Roseanne Roseanne Barr show. What's wrong now with that weight? It's covering your genitalia now, isn't it? The stomach has gone lower than that, hasn't it? No more TV shows, man. Only movies. Small movies. Movies with, indie directors. Things take second, third, fourth billing. Go that Tom Cruise route. Best supporting actor. No more TV for you. Who'd we miss? You can call us at 1-800-449-8686. The top 10 people on television who are also in lousy physical condition. By the way, that was a list of about 15 people. And you're wondering why we're playing the Marine Corps theme. That's just as an homage, as a salute to our young men and women who are on the front lines in Afghanistan right now. And I would think that those of you in TV who, you know, are enjoying a good life, who have good ratings and good income and look like hell, would think about those young men and women who are sacrificing themselves on the front lines in Afghanistan right now. So grow some hair, lose some weight, put down the smack, pick up the caffeine, whatever you got to do. I know that David is not in good health because of his heart, but I say this the best possible way. I turned the TV on the other, and I saw David Letterman. I went, oh, God. I mean, I had a reaction like that. Don't you? Okay. Nobody on my show watches the David Letterman show. Well, that's great. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show here. Let me go over to, I think this is Sean. Sean?
Yeah. Phil.
Go ahead. How you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Fine.
Good, good. Just two things real quick. First, I think your show is great, but I had an interesting twist on your game that you play with your kids about the brakes going out.
Yeah.
When you're on any kind of a long-distance trip, perhaps with your wife, the kids, whatever, and somebody's just starting to doze off, especially if they're in the front seat, if you lay on the horn and scream, oh, my God.
I'll try that, yeah, especially when I'm taking the kids to school. They're about ready to nod off. That's good. Phil Hendry Show. So the idea then is to lay on the brakes and scream, oh, my God, as someone is dozing off. That's good. What that gentleman was referring to is when I take the kids to school, they enjoy it when I play a game called, oh, my God, the steering's out. And they just enjoy that, especially if we're going over bridges. I'll go, oh, my God, the steering's out, and I'll pretend like the car is veering toward the guardrail. And there may be, a 30-foot drop, depending upon where we are. And they laugh their asses off. They love it. Here's Vicky on the Phil Hendry Show. Vicky?
Hi there, Phil.
Hi,
how's
Vicky?
It going?
Good.
Good. I wanted to add somebody to your list.
Yeah?
Cameron Manheim of The Practice.
No, she's healthy.
Oh, yeah. And why do you say why?
Because the woman is of a non-traditional figure?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, she's just flat-out huge. And the thing is, they had a plot line where some guy was like, wanted to trade sexual favors for a plea bargain.
Yes.
I'm like, no way.
You don't understand men, do you?
No.
You don't get men.
I do, but that's
no, there are many, many a men, about a good 6 out of 10 men would enjoy a woman of that girth.
I bet. I just couldn't. It was too implausible even for me to believe.
Well, it'll happen. So, another donut, and you're on your way there, Vic.
Okay.
All right, get out of here. What is that supposed to mean? Cameron Manheim, there's nothing unhealthy looking about her at all. Yes, she's larger than normal, so whatever. I'll tell you, I saw Georgia Frontieri on TV the owner of the Rams, and she's packed on probably 60 pounds. She looks great, and she's 70. So she's 70 and 280. What more could you want out of a woman? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Just because you're overweight doesn't mean you're unhealthy. And just because you're big doesn't mean you're overweight. And just because you're Cameron Manheim doesn't mean men are not attracted to you. And I'm sitting in a room right now with at least two other men that absolutely love Cameron Manheim. I'll ignore what Chris Pelton put on my screen moments ago about rolling her in flour. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Yes, that number again, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, just in case you didn't get the news, Mike Tyson has been denied a boxing license by the state of Nevada. And it brought to mind for me Muhammad Ali. Did we ever really know how good we had it? The answer to that is no. Mike Tyson has been denied his boxing license. Well, all right, that's a shock. Not really. The guy is out of control. He's a completely unacceptable human being. He's engaged in the kind of nefarious and deviant activity that even a prize fighter should not be allowed to be. And I say that with all due respect to the fight game, because they have put up with some real scum in the past. But the reason why I bring up Muhammad Ali and I say, did we ever really know how good we had it? Many of you weren't around in those days. Let me tell you something. Muhammad Ali was a vilified, maligned, hated individual by at least 50% of the sporting community in America. At least 50%. We had no idea what a tremendous champion this guy was. We had no idea what a man of integrity he was. We had absolutely no idea of what real boxing skill he had. I can still remember back in the day when the old-timers would talk about how Marciano would have lifted Ali 3 feet off the canvas. Let me just set the record straight. Rocky Marciano wouldn't have lasted four rounds with Muhammad Ali. Rocky Marciano, no, I take that back. Rocky Marciano would have done as well with Muhammad Ali as Frazier did with Muhammad Ali. Lose two out of three fights. There, how's that? Does that pretty much tell you the story about Rocky Marciano and Muhammad Ali? Please, can we move on now? This was a man of integrity. This was a man of tremendous boxing skill. This was a man of great honesty at a time when, frankly, black guys weren't supposed to be honest. You had to kind of shuck and jive and shuffle and do a sort of a, and I say this with great respect to Floyd Patterson, but he was a guy who, you know, I love America and I'm really happy to be here, even though I can't drink at the same water fountain. And it's really great sitting in the back of a bus. Thank you very much, America. I mean, that was the kind of black champion that America wanted back then. Along comes Muhammad Ali. The guy was colorful. The guy was funnier than hell. I mean, he was hysterical. The crap with the, you know, everybody knows about the toupee thing with Howard Cosell. He was funny with everybody. I remember the time he was in the ring with Cosell, and he goes up to Cosell, he says, Howard, I want to tell you something now, that I have been paid a large sum of money to slap you, and he pretends like he's slapping Cosell across the face. It's funny. He did stuff like that all the time. He was always clowning, always pulling on the guy's rug. Always making fun, always baiting people, always baiting white people, just because he knew he could, because it was fun for him to do. And on top of that, he fought everybody they threw at him. I don't care if it was Foreman, it was Frazier, it was Jimmy Young, it was some tomato can like that Belgian national champ. I don't know who this guy, Jean-Pierre Coupman. Anybody remember that name? This is the European champion, a real little Red Riding Hood that they threw at Ali, because there wasn't anybody left to kick ass on. He kicked everybody's ass in America. So then they started throwing tomato cans at him like this Cooper guy out of Britain and that bum the bleeder from Bayonne. Every bum he fought. Every bum and every great fighter of skill. Ron Lyle, Frazier, Foreman, Jimmy Young. I don't care who you want to mention. He fought every last one of them. And to the bitter end, there were people who said, nah, there were better champions than Muhammad Ali. Let me tell you something right now. For those of you that weren't there, there was no greater champion in the history of boxing than Muhammad Ali. And certainly no bum that's come along since. I don't care if it's Larry Holmes. Evander Holyfield was a kid who had a little bit of class. He didn't have any personality. He had no personality. But I guess you don't have to. The guy made it fun to watch a fight. It was an event. It was a moment. You couldn't miss a Muhammad Ali fight. You had to be there. You had to watch it. You had to see what was the guy going to say. And after every fight, he'd pat down his hair and he'd kind of rub his face, say, I don't have a mark on me. One 800 449 8686. All right, so I'm done with that. Anyway, just in case those of you who are big Mike Tyson fans, you ain't going to be seeing Mike fight anytime soon because he didn't get his license, okay? Something about biting the genitalia of Lennox Lewis. You know, look, a guy can make a mistake, okay? Here is Mark. Mark, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I got two things for you. First of all, Muhammad, classic. Tyson's an idiot. And somebody who is already dead, Keith Richards of the Stones.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows that Keith has been The Walking Dead for years. Yeah.
All right.
But you know what? I can't really say that now because he's looking better. Is he drinking more water?
I think he's doing more drugs.
I think he's hydrating better because I saw him on TV the other day. He looks tremendous, Keith Richards. I think he's eating greens and that Atkins. By the way, speaking of the Atkins diet, it didn't work on Marlon Brando, so don't start talking to me about the zone. Marlon Brando did that Atkins diet. Not only did he not lose any weight, but the sheer density of his bowel movements, they weighed about as much as a Volkswagen. Look, if you're on the Atkins diet and you're taking a dump and it's like a Volkswagen and you're not losing weight, this is bad. This is not good. The guy has a bowel movement like a black hole. I mean, it's like it has its own gravitational force. You ever been on that Atkins diet? Well, I mean, figure it out. Meat and cheese. Yeah. I think I'll go in and read the sports page, take care of the morning business. 4 hours later. Honey, I'm bleeding. Could you go ahead and, can I borrow one of your, maxi pads? Thank you. I'm just going to slide it down the back of my pants here. Good God. Yeah, great. Atkins diet. Yeah, go for it, man. Forget it. Hey, you can eat Spam, cheese, meat, coagulated meats, solid. Yeah, what do you expect's going to happen? A lot of bleeding. A lot of lonely hours sitting by yourself in the old water closet. That ain't fun. Here's Mark on the Phil Hendry Show. Mark?
How you doing, Phil?
Good, sir. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. There is one person I believe that could have beat Muhammad Ali, and that's Bobby Dooley.
Bobby. I think she could have done it. She could have taken him. She could have taken him. There's no doubt about it.
Walking Dead, Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard, I didn't even seen that cat, man. Is it serious?
Yeah, he's not looking good now.
Walking Dead. Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah, you're right on both counts, man. Thank you. Yeah, Leonard Nimoy and Bobby Dooley. Leonard's The Walking Dead. Bobby could have taken Muhammad Ali 7-8 rounds. Alex, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love your show, man.
Thanks.
Hey, somebody that looks terrible, man, on TV, John Madden.
Oh, yeah, he does. Then Pat Summerall, too, if we're on the subject.
Yeah, him too. John Madden is getting horrific.
He's getting out when the getting's good, isn't he?
Yeah,
but
he
the
is.
Thing about Pat is you're not going to mention the guy because he's 71. He's old, and he did have that, he'd like to put it away a little bit.
Exactly.
But he's been off this stuff for like 10 years.
But
you know,
Madden,
some things you could quit, you drink enough, and you could quit for like 50 years. It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So you got to watch that. Thanks, man. Here is James on the Phil Hendry Show. James?
Yeah, Phil, thanks for taking my call. I got the last half of your list. I don't know if you noticed. You mentioned Barbara Walters. How about her co-host star on The View?
Oh, is that the large lady?
Yeah.
Nah, she's fine.
Are you kidding me?
She's fine. Nothing wrong with her at all.
They did.
What's wrong with why? Is this another weight thing we're dealing with here?
No, I love big women. It has nothing to do with that, but not that big. Listen,
How big is she? Is she Candy Crowley big?
She is huge. They did a little skit with her where they got her a personal trainer, and they were going to give her a little workout regimen, and she fell off of the Stairmaster.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Fell off the Stairmaster.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It was great.
Beautiful.
How about,
you ever been on a diet, had a weight problem or anything?
I have a weight problem.
Do
yeah,
you serious? Have
I
you ever tried? Have you ever tried that Atkins?
I tried it for about a week, and I
you know what I'm talking about, then, right?
Oh yeah. I couldn't stand it.
It's no good, man.
And I heard stories about bowel movements, and that was all I needed.
Yeah, all you needed were the stories. You didn't need to go through the hell itself. Yeah. All right, pal, hey, thanks.
Okay,
goodbye. Thanks. All right, 1-800-449. That's why I got off the Atkins diet. Plain and simple. No, and yeah, sure. Drink more water. Okay. What, do I got to drink the lake? I got to drink our... How much water do I got to drink?
Well, the reason why you're not passing, you have to drink more water.
I'm drinking gallons. I'm walking around like one of those people you see at work. You ever see these people walking around with a cup with a straw? What's that?
Water. I like to stay hydrated.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're bugging me with your water. What do you think about that? Every time you come in, I come in here, you got that thing with the water. Well, it's just... I just got back from the gym, you know, and yeah. And so you're having more water?
Yes. I hydrate.
Yeah, well, why don't I just pour your water out? Don't touch it. Get out of here. Stinking water. My wife's with the water. Everywhere with the water. Drinking her water. I know it's good for you. I got no problem with it. But some of us have got to catch up a little bit, okay? When the rest of the world is shoving their water in our face, when the rest of the world is shoving their very fluid and easy bowel movements in our face, we got to catch up. All right? I'm still on coffee and Coke, if you don't mind. So what's with this, you know, and I've got the handy 20-pack of the Arrowhead water, the plastic water bottles, and have you got water? Yeah, I'm drinking. And by the way, I drink tap water. What do you think of that? I drink tap water. I drank tap water my whole life. I grew up on tap water. I grew up on Colorado River water. And I'm telling you, there's nothing worse because it comes over the LA, the California aqueduct, over the desert. God knows how many scorpions have taken a leak or a crap in that. Dead bodies floating in that thing. They had a guy, they had the body of a dead Hollywood screenwriter just rotting in that thing for years. And I've been drinking that water. I grew up on California. Now, all of a sudden, oh, wow, excuse me.
Better get that Arrowhead bottled water. You better have that water filtering filtration. What?
Why?
Well, you know, it's bad for you.
Bull crap, it's bad for me. I drank it as a kid. What are you talking about? Bad. I go over to the sink to get a glass of water. My wife's like, oh, God, no. What are you doing? No, don't do what? Don't drink that. What do you, don't drink that. Well, that's tap water. Yeah. Well, you fool. It's got all kinds of. What has it got in it today that it didn't have in it 40 years ago, man? If anything, the water's better protected. Look, I ain't saying I'm the healthiest cat in the world, but I grew up on good old-fashioned yellow California tap water. I'm 50 years old today. I got no major illness. I even take a pop or two on the weekends. What do you think about that? And I don't need Viagra. And ain't nothing wrong with me, Jim, and I'm drinking California tap water. So there's stuff with the bottle. Get out of here. Now it's psychological. You go to the tap, take some water, you drink it, like tastes like scorpion piss or something. You're not sure what it is. You're like, Jesus, it tastes like, yeah, I told you the tap. Nah, bull crap. It's the same water. You guys have psyched me out.
Wait a minute, we psyched you out. We just told you it's bad for you.
Oh, bull, it's fine. I used to go to the tap when I was a kid. I'd come in from, you know, running and playing and jumping and everything that you did as a kid. You come in, get the glass of water and gulp down six glasses of that good tap water. Came out pea green. California River water. Pea green since 1861. Mulholland would be proud. All right, anyway, 1-800-449. You know what I'm talking about, Craig? Sure you do. Craig grew up drinking Filipino tap water. What the hell are you talking? Look at him. Other than the fact he's losing his hair. Okay, 1-800-at-25. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
As you know, on The Phil Henry Show, I play the part of a variety of different characters, not just myself. On yesterday's program, I was playing the part of Austin Amarca, a man who called in to say that he was ashamed of Texans for their behavior in the Enron scandal. And then he received... Oh, and he also said the reason why he moved to California is to get his daughter into Jugs magazine. Then he got this phone call.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
This is Joan. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Yes, ma'am.
Shame. I'm ashamed of knowing that Texas has somebody who has absolutely no moral, pimping the daughter. If you don't have a job in Texas, you can still beg for food on the street. People will give you money.
Why would I beg for food when I got a daughter? I get $10,000 in Jugs and Swank
magazine. She is your daughter. It is your responsibility to take care of her. And it's your daughter. If you need to make money, you work yourself to find a job and take care of your daughter and take care of your family. I'm so happy
what
for your
you
wife to left. I'm telling you, she saw that you don't have principles. That's why she left.
My wife left because she was making more money in adult porno videos than she was as a, of course, I don't think she was a secretary.
Let me tell you, I have a construction company, and I swear to you that I would not hire a person who will pimp the daughter, a cabinet man or whatever.
You're yellower than the rose of Texas. You know, a lot of it...
Would you stop that, man?
Let me ask you a question. Is this Connie Chung?
Pardon me?
Nothing. My wife...
Quit with the jokes, man.
All right. What did I do wrong? All I'm trying to do is say that Texas made me look bad with that Enron thing.
Don't insult Texas. We have principle. We work hard for our money. And what do you mean by you're ashamed of Enron? Things happen. Corporation falls apart. Just like your marriage falls apart.
Oh, yeah. Things happen. Well, my daughter's in Jugs magazine. Things happen.
That's pimping your daughter. Why don't you go be, you know, one of those male whores and make money and...
I would if I could, but they said I wasn't big enough. Hey.
You're a total failure. Your wife ran away. You're pimping your daughter. And don't blame it. Don't tell everybody you're from Texas. I'm so ashamed of you being from
Texas. Do you live next door to Hank Hill?
Who that? Who is he?
You know Hank Hill?
No.
Can you sing the Rello Lows of Texas?
I know that song.
Yeah, okay, Young, you're very kind.
Rello Lows of Texas.
Okay.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
That was rude. All right. Christy, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Christy.
Hey, Phil Henry.
How you doing?
I got to tell you three things.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've listened to your show. So far, I love it.
Thank you.
Second of all, the Atkins diet, I had to add one more thing to it.
Yeah?
My husband tries that almost once every 4 months, right? Not only do they take the four-pound dumps, but most people think, oh, I'm constipated, so they end up taking a laxative and end up playing 4 hours of butt trumpet in the bathroom.
4 hours of butt trumpet. Well, I hadn't quite. I think that's in the Atkins book, though. You know, I'm Dr. Atkins. By the way, those of you who are constipated can use a laxative, preferably organic, and play butt trumpet. Then, all right, Christy, good. Thank you.
And the other thing, I was raised on the same water that you were. I was born and raised in San Diego. I'm a transplant here in North Carolina. And you know what?
And you're playing butt trumpet. So that's not doesn't speak well for the California water. All right, kid, listen. Thank you.
Nope.
Gotta go, bye. Butt trumpet. Okay. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, Chris Pelton will be in concert next week at the Hollywood Bowl playing butt trumpet and... with the Philharmonic.